I'm very grateful to be with you here at St. John's on this Pentecost Sunday, a major feast day in our church's calendar. I'm grateful to your Bishop Anna for inviting me to be in your diocese these last few days. And I'm grateful to Alistair for extending hospitality and letting me enjoy his very interesting office. There's lots of places to cast your eyes. And to Carol Ann and to the Friday Food Bank team, I was here on Friday to see that ministry and to explore your neighborhood a little bit. And it was good to see that you are part of what we might call the continuum of compassion, which goes from the kind of companionship that you provide and food that you provide and shelter that you provide, right up to providing supportive housing for human beings who live precariously and need housing with supports. So thank you for your ministry and for being part of a continuum of compassion. And I hope that as you build relationships with the folks who live on Pandora, who live around your church, you will also become advocates for holistic, full solutions to homelessness in your community. Every church is different, and I'm in lots of different churches, and there's always this difficult decision about whose back am I going to be facing when I preach. So I think I've minimized the damage by being up here. It's always a different thing. I have been to Victoria before. My children's great-grandmother was a woman named Claire McAllister, who lived on Croft in the James Bay Area. And Claire was a retired social worker who in the 70s and 80s was a huge advocate for elder care. And she became quite prolific. She seemed to know everybody. And I was thinking of her the other day because I walked down memory lane after I visited you on Friday and walked down Croft. And I remembered that Claire had this unusual habit of talking to crows. Now, she didn't talk to them in English, she did crow with them. It was sort of her Pentecostal moment. She was speaking in crow. So she would caw at them, and sometimes they would caw back. She was quite a character. But that story brought to mind a true story that I read of a number of years ago. And it's the story of a crow and a man. And it took place in Quebec City. And the man's name was Simon. He was an Anishinaabe man, an indigenous man. And he was walking down the street in Quebec City one day, and on the sidewalk was a fledgling crow. Its wing had been damaged from falling from a nest. And so he looked around and couldn't see any sign of parental care. Crows mate for life, so usually there's two crows together somewhere. So he picked up the little crow and brought it home. And he named the crow Miko. So this is a story of Miko the crow and Simon the man. Now, Simon and Miko became inseparable. Simon nurtured Miko, lifted him up to a place of health, gave him lots of attention, and they went everywhere together. Simon had a very understanding employer because Miko would go to work with him every day. And everybody in the neighborhood knew Simon and Miko. And one day it became clear that Simon needed to move. Something was happening in his apartment. So he moved to another apartment. The landlord of the new apartment wasn't too keen on the idea of having a crow in the building. And he said, this man doesn't even have a permit for that crow. So he complained to the wildlife authorities. And they did two things. They placed a $1,500 fine on Simon, and they demanded that Miko be euthanized, be put down. The story turns out okay. And so Simon became an advocate for Miko the crow. He went to court, he took it to court, and that's why it hit the news. And he made three arguments. First of all, he said, I don't have a permit for my crow because there are no permits to keep a crow. Pretty compelling argument. Secondly, he said that Miko had been so socialized that he could not survive in the wild. And the third point he argued is that Miko cannot be separated from Simon. When Miko is separated from Simon for any length of time, he becomes anxious and restless and listless and a little bit self-destructive. And so Simon won the court case. Why am I telling you this story? It's a great story. When I read this story, it struck me that our relationship with God is a little bit like the relationship between Miko and Simon. When we become separated from the God of love, the God who made us, we lose something. We become a bit anxious, maybe. We become a bit listless and restless, and maybe even self-destructive. We can stop living from our true nature as children of God, as creatures of God, made in God's image, made from love. Today we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's two stories that we heard read today. The big story is the reading from Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes like a violent wind and shakes up those disciples and leads them out into the street, where they go from being anxious and closeted, literally, in the upper room, to bursting out onto the street and proclaiming, for the first time in human history, the gospel of the risen Christ, the gospel of God's love as Christ made it known. This is a profound moment. Imagine if every time you prayed for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there was a violent wind in your room or your church, flames came down on you and everybody else, and you were compelled to burst out into the street. That would be a little bit overwhelming. As an aside, please note that among those who gathered and listened to the apostles were Arabs, by name Arabs. Please pray for our sisters and brothers, our siblings, the Palestinian Arab Christians who face tremendous difficulty in the land of the Holy One at this time. So the first story of the Holy Spirit, of the giving of the Holy Spirit, is a big story. It's a history-changing story, you might say, where the gospel of the resurrection is proclaimed for the first time in human history. But the other story happened about 53 days earlier, where the disciples, about 50 days earlier actually, where the disciples had been hiding in the upper room. And if you go back a few days before the reading that we heard from the Gospel of John this morning, Jesus, after the foot washing, after the Last Supper, after the long farewell prayer that he prays, starts telling the disciples what they can expect. He's going to be betrayed by one of them. One of them will deny him. He will be arrested. He will be crucified. Disciples weren't so happy to hear that. Things with Jesus had been great. When Jesus was around, things were okay. He guided them. He taught them. He protected them. He was good to be around. And now he's saying he's gone. He's going in a horrible way. And Jesus is trying to comfort them. They are afraid of being separated from him, and they are anxious and fearful. And Jesus, before he is crucified, before he is raised from the dead, comforts them, saying, "Don't worry. I promise to give you a comforter. I promise to give you a friend, a guide, a teacher, to abide with you always. And the gift that I will give you is the Holy Spirit, who will remind you of me," says Jesus, "will remind you of me and all that I taught you." And today, we hear the story of the Holy Spirit being breathed upon the disciple. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on them. A lot easier to take than a violent wind that galvanized the community of disciples. The Holy Spirit given to the disciples, as we heard it this morning, was much more intimate and direct and personal. It was for them as individuals. Jesus gave them a friend, a guide, a teacher to abide with them and to remind them of him and all he taught them. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to stay close to Jesus, helps us to feel close to God in Christ and not to feel the anxiety of separation. And how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit help us to stay close and to not be separated from God in Christ? Well, the Holy Spirit draws us to love as Christ commanded. The Holy Spirit gently spurs us, sometimes challenges us to love as he did and to live as he taught. And what does that look like? How do we love as Jesus loved? And how do we live as he taught? Well, it's to live from your heart of compassion. To live from your heart of compassion. When you allow others in your community to share in the companionship and food that you offer in the basement, you are providing an opportunity for other people to live from their hearts of compassion. The Holy Spirit prompts us to live with compassion, as Jesus taught very, very clearly, to live with kindness and courage and gentleness and generosity, and to try our best to be just and merciful and forgiving and trustworthy and faithful and prayerful in all our dealings. To be healers and reconcilers and peacemakers. The Holy Spirit prompts us to live in these ways, prompts us to be reminded of Christ and how he taught us to live. And so on this Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate and give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, Friend, Guide, and Teacher, our faithful companion who draws us toward living life as children of God, who we can call upon to help us live life as children of God, to live as Christ's own, to follow the way he taught, to live in ways that make us fully human, to live in a good way as we walk through this life. And as we do so, we will feel close to Christ. We will feel the presence of Christ in our hearts. And we will stay close to Christ and abide with him always. Amen.